You're listening to Booth Talk from the Aftermovie Diner. And on this episode, we're exceptionally happy to be speaking to the Brit kicker, martial artist, action movie star, Scott Adkins. If you have been any kind of action movie fan for the last 15 years, you will have seen Scott's work, from the fantastic and awesome Undisputed franchise to the incredible Ninja franchise, and also later installments of the Universal Soldier franchise, right up until the film we just reviewed on the website last week, Savage Dog, directed by friend of the site, Jesse Johnson. Scott has also worked extensively with Isaac Florentine, another guest that we've had on the show, and we get into all that and more this episode of Booth Talk with our fantastic guest, Mr. Scott Adkins.
So it's for the podcast, yeah?
It is, yes, for the Aftermovie Diner website. We've actually had a lot of your contemporaries on the show. We've spoken to the now sadly departed Darren Shalavi, but we've also spoken to Jesse Johnson and Isaac Florentine and Don the Dragon Wilson and various other people. So we're big action fans here, sir.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, well, yeah, happy to do it.
Well, thank you so much. So it's a huge pleasure to have you on the show, Scott. As I said, we've been fans of yours for a long time. We're big action fans here. So thanks very much for agreeing to talk to us today. So you grew up, like I did, in the 80s and 90s, which were really a golden time for action movies. Was it them that sort of first got you into the martial arts, or were you already interested in those?
I always loved action films, films in general. But the martial arts started because my dad and my brother, they went to judo, and I just tagged along because I felt like I was missing out. Even though by my recollection, I spent time hiding under the chess table, not wanting to go. but then they made me at that point. But then they stopped, and I continued for the rest of my life. So
yeah,
glad I went. But the films, I just always loved action films. I loved physical performers. I loved your Bruce Lees. I didn't discover Jackie Chan until after I discovered Jean-Claude Van Damme, to be honest. But
yeah.
I was listening to an interview with Robert Rodriguez the other day, and he was talking about how so many people are very influenced at the age of 12. It seems to be the point where you sort of see yourself as what you want to be when you're a man.
Yeah.
When 12 years old. And funnily enough, that was 1988 for me. And I remember seeing Bloodsport and thinking, wow, I want to do what this guy does. So I thought that was interesting, that 12 seems to be the age.
Yeah, it seems to be that point where I suppose you're old enough to finally have your own personality and also old enough to kind of be aware of the future. And it's probably at the start of your teens where you are sort of taking on your own cultural touchstones yourself. You know, your brothers and your sisters and your parents might influence you up until then. But then after that, you kind of reach out and go, no, I'm going to go my own way, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to take on Hollywood. Don't worry. Everything's going fine.
Exactly. And so it sounds like then action films were always the goal. I mean, films in general, but like action films were always the goal from sort of that point on for you.
Yeah, I've always been drawn to those bigger than life characters, you know, Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Bruce Lee was always around.
Yeah.
And Van Damme. And then, Jackie Chan, people that show their physicality on screen, I've always been impressed by that. Even, you know, the Buster Keaton and Harold Lloyd, I always love watching those guys.
Yeah, no, definitely. They were sort of, especially some of the stuff Buster Keaton was doing, he is sort of the first kind of on-screen stuntman of his day sort of thing, some of the big stunts that he did. And
yeah, he did some crazy stunts as well, some big stunts.
Yeah, no, definitely with trains and buildings and all sorts of things. So while in Britain, then we have a rich history, of course, of stunt performers and action choreography, obviously with the Bond films and things, but also definitely during the 80s when a lot of Spielberg stuff and Lucas's stuff was shot in Britain. But we're the list is fairly short of kind of martial arts action stars, as it were. We affectionately call you guys Brit kickers. There's Gary Daniels, obviously Darren Chalavi, sadly departed Darren Chalavi, Jason Statham, and now yourself. You've worked with all of them. Are you sort of aware of the sort of Brit action lineage with each other and sort of what you're moving forward with?
Yeah, and there's more guys than that, but I think it's because of the 80s and the early 90s and the films that were coming out then that inspired people like me. You know, we decided we wanted to give it a crack and have a go at that. I think it's harder to succeed in this day and age doing that. Would have been easier in the 80s and 90s. But yeah, we were all influenced at the same time, I think.
Yeah,
there's a lot of English guys trying to do it, but there's a lot of guys from everywhere influenced by those films and trying to do it in their various countries and breaking out internationally, some of them not.
Definitely. I just sort of meant that when me as an action fan or my friends as action fans, when we sat down to see, obviously you have Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme and people like that, but then to have Gary Daniels in there sort of, certainly with the sort of straight to video action stuff from the 80s and 90s, he was really the one in terms of British leads who were out there kind of doing a more American style action martial arts movie, you know?
Yeah, I remember that he had one film that came out. I think it was called Union Jack, was it? And I thought that was a great title to see a British guy doing the action films. The film, I remember, wasn't as good as the title, I don't think, but it was a great film.
I forget exactly what it's called, but he did two films where he sort of played the same agent, and it was sort of him trying to do a Bond-ish kind of franchise. But, there's something not quite finished about them, almost. But the one that I remember seeing Daniels, and it's interesting because you went on to work with Isaac Florentine, weirdly enough, is sort of his sci-fi action movie called Harvest, which I first came across because I'm a big fan of Barbara Crampton, the actor. It was actually seeing his work in that. And then, of course, Blood Moon with Darren Chalavi that really kind of got me on the Daniels.
Yeah, I loved Blood Moon. I loved all the No Retreat, No Surrender films.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I like, you know, Fist of the North Star, Cold Harvest, Blood Moon. And there was a film called White Tiger, which was really good.
Yeah, that's a fantastic film.
That was definitely one of his best films, White Tiger.
And do you have any plans to work with, because obviously you worked with Daniels and Statham before, any plans to work with them in the future? Has there been talk about that or trying to get you guys?
I didn't really work with Gary previously because I was brought into this film to shoot some extra stuff. So I didn't even meet him.
Okay.
I met Gary twice, but a long time ago. And there's been a couple of projects that we were talking about at one stage and they just didn't happen. But yeah, I'd love to work with Gary, you know.
Yeah.
And he's great. Make it a bring out the Brits, bring out all the Brits and put them all together.
That's what I was saying. Throw in a couple of Bond actors and a couple of other guys who are up and coming and you could get a real Brit Spendables thing going.
Union Jacks. Let's do it.
The Union Jacks. I love it. Yeah, definitely. So with the Undisputed sequels and the character of Boyka, you created a real fan favorite franchise. How involved with those films are you in terms of sort of producing and writing and developing the character over the three sequels?
I'm involved in the story as much as I put my my ideas forward, and you know, there's a committee of people and there's a guy at the top, there's a few guys at the top that will have the last say, but you know, I do as much as I can. Some of my ideas are kept, some of them thrown out, but you know, certainly when you're there on the set, that's your time to just make everything work. But from a script standpoint, you know, there's many more cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. Were you, because I mean, just based on sort of what I saw on social media when the fourth film was coming around, were you sort of one of the driving voices behind bringing him back for the fourth time, or was that more just a sort of studio decision?
I was definitely phoning up the producer saying, look, come on, we need to do another Boyka film.
Yeah.
The fans are calling out for it. Everybody loves it. Let's do it. And one of the reasons we were able to do it, because the other one didn't perform as well as we wanted because of the, you know, piracy issue, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Keep going on about that. But the amount of fans we had on Facebook, and, you know, you could reach out to them and you'd say, you know, who wants to see another Boyka movie? And you'd get an instant massive response. So that certainly helped us. And I hope we can do another one. We have a script. Well, we have a treatment, an idea.
Yeah.
And we'd love to do it. So if people can keep showing their support, hopefully we'll be able to.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think you see some of those action franchises and they maybe get one or two films or two or three films. And then, you know, obviously the star either goes off and does other stuff or whatever. And there's always that kind of clamor, I think, for people to kind of go back to the well. So it's really great. Yes, if you can get like a fifth one going, that's fantastic. And I'm sure the fans would love that. One of the directors who you're tied with, both with the Ninja franchise and the Undisputed franchise, as well as other films you've worked with, is, of course, former guest Isaac Florentine. What's the relationship with Isaac there, and what does Isaac bring to the films that you respond to?
Well, you could say that Isaac discovered me. He was the first guy to put me in a major role in Special Forces, and we followed that up with Undisputed 2. So I owe Isaac a lot, but aside from that, he's a great friend. He's been like an uncle to me. He's given me some chances, given me a lot of advice. I've been able to learn filmmaking from him. And he is the best American director of martial arts films. So for me to have a partnership with him has been great for me. And we've done a lot of films together. So obviously he likes working with me as well.
Yeah.
And I hope it continues. I hope we can do another Boyka, and I'd love to do Ninja 3, you know, love to do another film, a standalone movie of, you know, a different story.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's great.
But
he's
yeah, done a lot. The Ninja franchise is definitely a favorite here. We just thought that, the way that the set pieces and the action and the character and sort of everything kind of exploded and just ratcheted up to a whole other level in Ninja 2 was breathtaking. It was like that came out around about the same time or just slightly after maybe The Raid. And I like The Raid and Ninja 2 for me were new high watermarks in sort of martial artists. Like we really loved what you guys did with Ninja 2. So yeah, Ninja 3.
We had some time on that film. We had a 6-week shoot. We had 36 days, I believe. So you're able to do a lot of action. It's even harder for me then because I'm constantly doing action for a longer amount of time.
Of course.
But I think that film's got the most fights in any film that I've ever done. And I'm in all of them pretty much. But yeah, we had time. We had 36 days, and it's difficult these days to get 36 days. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I was speaking to Cynthia Rothrock, and she was saying that sort of the big difference, even back in the 80s, between kind of Hong Kong filmmaking and then the American style, was just that the Hong Kong filmmaking, they not only did they have weeks and weeks and weeks, but also, you know, 90% of that was working on the action versus the story or whatever. And whereas in America, they were trying, especially with the sort of straight to video era in the 80s and 90s, they were trying to push these things out all the time. And therefore there really wasn't any time to A, make the film, let alone focus on action. So is that one of the biggest challenges, is just finding the time and the schedule to really hunker down and focus on some good, strong set pieces?
Yeah, I mean, there's different ways to do it. I've got a film coming out called Accident Man, which I wrote, co-wrote, and I purposefully wrote it having a flashback where you would see the younger version of myself being trained. And the reason for that was I knew that I could then do second unit to make the action sequences bigger and better.
Yeah.
I knew that we wouldn't have a big schedule. Managed to do that on something like El Gringo as well, where I said to the producers, okay, I don't want a day off. Let's have a second unit. And then when everyone's having their day off, I'll be with second unit doing all the action stuff. So there's ways to do it. And it's clear from a lot of my films that I, you know, I go that extra mile to deliver with the action.
Oh, most definitely.
I'm okay with doing that. It's definitely hard, and it also makes your performance. It hinders your performance in a way, your acting performance, because sometimes you're just so tired, you can barely remember the lines. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but of course.
I realize why people watch my movies, and I definitely always wanted to deliver with the action because of that.
Yeah, and you are so sort of prolific and work on so many things in a year that, yes, as you say, balancing the sort of action and the acting must become a bit of a head swirl. You must not know where you are half the time.
There's a shot of me in Undisputed 3. I won't say what it is, but you can literally see me falling asleep on my...
Oh no. Well, look, I can tell you, we as fans completely appreciate all the and are sort of in awe of sort of the energy and the moves and the physicality of the performance. It definitely comes through on the screen. So, you know, we hope you keep it up, even though it must be an excessively demanding schedule. So you're also currently working with another friend of the website, Jesse Johnson. You guys just put out the awesome Savage Dog, which we reviewed and loved here on the site. You have the amazing looking Triple Threat, which just has a cast, just an incredible cast. And then, like you just mentioned, Accident Man on the way. What can you tell us about sort of working with Jesse and these upcoming films?
Well, I've known Jesse for quite a while, and I had a small part in a film called Pit Fighter that he directed. We wanted to work together ever since then, but we couldn't figure it out. And then within the space of a year, I did three films with him. Mm. I did Savage Dog, which was quite low budget, but I was really impressed with Jesse and what he was able to accomplish on that budget. And Accident Man was getting ready to go, and we needed a director. I wanted an English director. Jesse's English, even though he lives in the States now. And he seemed like the best fit for it, because he understood the English sense of humor, the English ways. He's great with actors. He's a scriptwriter himself. And also he comes from a very strong stunt background. He's done many, he's worked as a stuntman. He's related to one of the most famous stuntmen. He had many strings to his bow. So, yeah, we did Accident Man together, and I couldn't be happier with what he did for me in that movie. And it's great. I'm very proud of it. And then Triple Threat came up next. And I've always wanted to work with Tony Jaa desperately. And we were talking about it for a while. And this was the perfect opportunity. And not only do I get to work with Jaa, I get to work with Eco and Tiger and you know, Michael Jai White, Michael Bisping, Selena Jade. So it was fantastic.
Yeah, and how involved were you in sort of putting that cast together? I mean, obviously you've worked with Michael Jai White before. So I just wondered how involved were you, and were you another kind of driving force behind that?
The Triple Threat?
The Triple Threat film, yeah.
That was something that Tiger Chen had. It was his idea.
Right.
He's one of the producers. And he wanted to do a film with him and Tony Jaa and Eco. And just at script stage, they came up with the idea to have another three guys opposing them. And it made sense to have me and the two Mikes.
Yeah.
So we made it happen.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, look, we're very excited about that film indeed. These films must take you all over to weird and wonderful locations. What are some of the best and indeed the worst places you've actually ended up making films in?
Well, I love Thailand. I love going to Thailand. Always happy to go there.
Yeah.
Great country, hardworking crew, nice weather, you know, land of the smiles. I'm happy to go everywhere, really. There's nowhere I've been, which I struggle in China with the food.
Right.
That can be difficult.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm always happy to. Sometimes it's a struggle, but the great thing about my job is the amount of places I get to go. And I'm not much of a traveler, to be honest. So a lot of these places I wouldn't have bothered going.
Right.
But when I look back on all the places I've been, I think, wow, you know, I'm so lucky to have been able to be brought out to these places and put up in a hotel and spend time there. And not just a holiday, but spend months there sometimes and really get to understand the culture and the people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it must be fantastic. So you were saying earlier that sort of it's a lot harder now, you imagine, than it was in the 80s, kind of getting a lot of these kind of films off the ground. But it also seems like, I mean, just from a sort of a watcher point of view, that along with the video market and the streaming market and the internet and also the Expendables and the rise of yourself and Statham and action stars like that, that there's almost a new generation of sort of a golden age of action films again, that like then the cycle has come back and you know, action and maybe horror, the sort of two genres that are flooding the market. But it's still difficult, you say, to kind of get stuff off the ground, you think?
I think so, but obviously, I mean, I wasn't in the business in the 80s and 90s, so I'm just assuming
right.
and going off what other people have told me. But because there was that boom of 80s action stars and the video market exploded, so there was a lot of opportunity for these types of movies. I think martial arts is more prevalent than ever before in the mainstream, but martial arts films... there doesn't seem to be that many, not as many as there used to be anyway. But we are getting a good dose of John Wick and Atomic Blonde. But, you know, it's still actors trained to do these things and not necessarily the real deal. As much as I respect Keanu Reeves and Charlize Theron for what they've done in those movies, I mean, I tip my hat to them because I know how difficult it is, and they've obviously put a lot of hard work into it. You know, the days of Jackie Chan and Van Damme and Seagal, it is a different time.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know what you mean, certainly in terms of sort of, I guess, the multiplex movies. Like you say, it's sort of your Keanu Reeves or your Tom Cruise or someone like that, so like an actor or even a Tom Hardy, sort of an actor who's trained in certain action things, certain action moves, rather than obviously a martial artist in the same way. But there seems to still be, I don't know, just from streaming and things, a nice kind of second tier, I guess, would be the way to call it, where you're getting not only the older generation, your Van Dams and your Lundgren still kind of doing stuff, but also yourself kind of and your contemporaries kind of going forward. So I think
having to do those films on a shoestring budget.
That's the hard thing, yeah.
It's difficult, you know, and they want more, but you've got less time and less money to do it. It's difficult. It's really hard. When I first started in, you know, early 2000, you'd have 6 weeks to make an independent film.
Yeah.
And it was doable. It was still hard, but it was doable. And then that time has shrank to like 3 weeks now. It's really difficult for those level of films.
We've also seen... online, we've seen sort of things about yourself either as Bond or as Batman and some of these other things, like just fan-led petitions and things online. Do those kind of things ever translate into sort of actual conversations in your career, or are they just things that you kind of see or are aware of, but they kind of pass you by?
It's just internet chatter, isn't it? I mean... it's been difficult for me to sort of get my foot in the door of the bigger Hollywood system.
Yeah.
I don't know why, really. Perhaps you need a bit of luck, and I didn't get that. But, you know, I'm not complaining. I love what I do, and I'll continue to do it. But all that sort of stuff is internet chatter. You need somebody at the top of the Hollywood pile to say, hey, come on, get that kid, let's go. Put him in a big movie, and let's surround him with all the trimmings. You know, I can't make it happen myself. Somebody at that level has to choose to do that.
Of course. And just a couple more questions then before we close. But you talked about earlier that you had done some second unit stuff and some writing. Are there plans in the future for you to either be a feature director or to expand on your sort of second unit action choreography work?
I'd definitely like to direct. Again, to star and direct on a short schedule would be very difficult.
Yeah.
But perhaps I could play a cameo or a supporting role and direct some other people, especially if it's your first time. I mean, forget about doing the acting. Now I want to concentrate on the directing for
of course.
I'll only end up putting in a subpar performance, probably. But, yeah, I definitely like to do it. I feel the yearning to do that more and more. Accident Man was something that I knew inside and out.
Yeah.
And in some ways probably should have directed it. But because you're the lead actor, it's a tight schedule and you've got all the action, second unit stuff to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm very involved in that anyway. But, yeah, in the future I'd like to do that.
Oh, excellent. Well, we hope to hope you get that opportunity. And lastly, what are some films that you've done either recently or at the beginning that you think fans should check out that maybe you feel didn't get the audience or that are just particular favorites of yours from your career so far?
I think people gave Green Street 3 a hard time when they didn't need to.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem with a film like that is it's sold as Green Street. And they put the 3 on the end. And when we were shooting it, we were trying to make it like a reboot. And we wanted to do our version. But as soon as it comes out, Green Street 3, people are expecting it to be one thing. And it turned out to be something else. So I think that a lot of people didn't like it for that reason. But check that one out again, because I think that's a really good film. Nice story, you know.
Yeah.
Some good action. I really like Eliminators as well from James Nunn. He did a great job on Eliminators, which I think people need to give that one a chance. But for me, favourite is my favourite ones are The Undisputed, Ninja 2, Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning, and Accident Man. Accident Man. Accident Man is the shit.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one. Because I think, obviously, as action fans, a lot of people are very excited for Triple Threat because of the cast. But Action Man, now knowing, because I'm not sure that I was aware straight off the bat that how involved you were and the fact that you had written it and all the rest of it. So actually, talking to you today has definitely piqued my interest for Accident Man. Not only because I love seeing you and Jesse working together, because I think Jesse is... a fantastic director. Like you say, what he does on a small budget is incredible. His, you know, everything from his Wonder Woman trailer that he did, which was fantastic, to things like The Package, where he got some incredible performances out of, you know, these action guys and things. So, yeah, he's great. So definitely Accident Man, and my interest is massively piqued now.
Well, Accident Man's something completely different. It ticks all the boxes as an action film, but it brings so much more, and it's quite quirky and different. So I think people are going to be pleased when they see it.
Yeah, well, Jesse's got a great artistic vision, and we can't wait to see your script in action and you acting something and doing something with, like you say, a British sense of humor and some little eccentricity. So that's fantastic, because we can't wait. Well, look, thanks so much for your time, Scott. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you today. If there's anything that you want to tell people to go out and see or go out and support or anything that you want to mention that we haven't talked about, that would be great. Otherwise, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it, mate.
So that was our excellent conversation with Scott Adkins. If you've liked this show, please don't forget to rate and review Booth Talk on iTunes, or go over to aftermoviediner.com and click through the Amazon banner when you make your Amazon orders. Or indeed, you can go over to patreon.com/aftermoviediner and support the website. Also, please do take a look at all the interviews that we have done on Booth Talk with so many action contemporaries of Scott's, along, as I said, in the interview with Don the Dragon Wilson. We've also got Cynthia Rothrock, Fred Fred Williamson, the directors he's worked with, Brian Tyler, who's a composer, all sorts of different people, William Sadler from Die Hard 2 and Hard to Kill, things like that, and we will be adding more and more. So please do check out the website if you love interviews like this. That's aftermoviediner.com. Thank you very much, and we'll be back again soon with more conversations with the people that make the films we love the best they possibly can be.